Our New Testament lesson this morning can be found printed in your bulletin and is also on page 245 of the New Testament in your pew Bible. It comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, picking up in the second half of verse 4 through 8. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. And so it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Now, I realize I say this every time I have the opportunity to share with you from the pulpit, but it truly is an honor to share with you this morning, and that feeling is amplified today by the fact that we are celebrating Christ the King Sunday this morning in worship. Christ the King Sunday is celebrated the last Sunday before the start of Advent. And yes, if you can believe it, this is the last Sunday before the start of Advent. And Christ the King Sunday celebrates the full authority of Jesus Christ as King and as Lord of all the universe. Now, my intention this morning is not to make this into a history lesson, but for those of you that know me, you know that I am fascinated with history, specifically Christian history. And so, if you'll indulge me for just a second, I think it would be helpful to highlight the fact that Christ the King Sunday was first instituted in the year 1925 by Pope Pius XI to emphasize the authority of Jesus Christ. At that time, Pope Pius was witnessing many Christians beginning to doubt the effectiveness of the church. And even more alarming, Pope Pius was witnessing Christians beginning to doubt the authority and the existence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Pope Pius XI instituted Christ the King Sunday as a reminder and as an opportunity not only to worship God, but also to remember and honor Jesus Christ as the all-powerful, ever-reigning King and Lord of the universe. But I think it's also helpful to acknowledge this morning that we too could use this reminder. It's all too easy to look at our world today and to wonder, what is going on? Look at the heartbreak. Look at the devastation. Look at the division. Look at the perceived hopelessness. My prayer this morning, my hope this morning, is that we collectively and each of us individually are reminded and encouraged that Christ is Lord, Christ is King, and Christ has brought purpose and hope. As we read in our New Testament lesson, part of it says, Jesus Christ, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him being Jesus who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, made us to be priests serving his God and Father, to Jesus be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is a powerful passage. These are powerful words, and they have incredible implications. So I'd like to take a moment and just unpack these words a little bit more. And right before our passage, in verse 3 of Revelation chapter 1, we read the first of what are seven blessings when it says, "Grace to you and peace from him and who is and who was and who was to come." These blessings are given to those who hear and keep God's word. In the early church, during a service, one would read the scriptures aloud, which is why it says to those who hear and keep. But it can also be described as to those who read and keep. The point remains the same, in that these blessings are promised to those that know the scriptures and obey God's word. When I was learning to drive, my dad and I spent a lot of time together. Now, I'm originally from Pennsylvania, where at that time, in order to obtain your driver's license, you had to first obtain your permit by passing a written exam. And once you had your permit, you then had to complete 2 hours of behind-the-wheel instruction over a 6-month period before you were eligible to schedule and ultimately attempt your on-road driver's test. My dad, never one to shortchange the system, ensured that I completed all the requirements before he would allow me to schedule and attempt the test. All 200 hours and not a day short of the 6-month period. That meant a lot of father-son time in the car. Now, my dad took this one step further. He read that driver's manual cover to cover several times to ensure that I, his son, was well prepared to complete my driver's test, to ensure that I, his son, knew every rule of the road, both written and unwritten rule of the road, and that I, his son, could recite every single road sign by color and shape, and that I, his son, was extremely well-versed on every country road of our beloved hometown. But it was during this 6-month period that my dad realized that his efforts had a counter effect. He had prepared me so well, and I was now well aware of each and every time that he himself did not follow or obey the rules of the road. And I, of course, made sure to point out each and every shortcoming I witnessed while my dad was driving. There was one time I remember in particular that my dad was driving while we were on a family vacation, in which he was both speeding and ran 2 consecutive stop signs. While, to use my dad's term, we were exploring, which really means lost, on the local streets of Ocean City, Maryland. But before I could say anything, my dad looked at me and he said, "Do as I do say, not as I do." But you see, my dad was wrong that day. I see now that it was important to him that I become a safe driver. It was important to him that I stay alert and recognize the potential danger that could ensue if I didn't respect the road, if I didn't respect the vehicle, and if I didn't respect each and every driver, pedestrian, or other variable that I may encounter. My dad, throughout this process, modeled for me what diligence and thoroughness looked like. My dad was preparing and equipping me to handle any circumstance that I might encounter. John here, in our New Testament passage, is attempting to do something similar. Although in a much more profound way and with much greater implications, John is attempting to prepare all believers to be diligent and committed followers of Christ, reminding us of the importance of the scriptures, and that as followers and believers of Jesus, we are to study and emulate the lessons and the actions of Jesus' life. In the greeting of John's Revelation text, he states that it is written to all Christ's servants. John is emphasizing Jesus as the faithful witness. John is emphasizing that Jesus has triumphed over death. John is emphasizing that Jesus is sovereign over all earthly powers. And John wraps up his greeting by stating that reconciliation is offered through Jesus' death and resurrection and is available to all who are freed by Christ's blood through faith. Jesus is portrayed throughout the book of Revelation as the all-powerful King, victorious in battle and glorious in peace. My hope this morning is that through the scriptures, we all would allow the truth of Christ to penetrate our lives, to deepen our faith, and to strengthen our commitment by accepting God's invitation to follow God out into the world as advocates of grace and peace. Throughout the gospel stories, we read of the disciples learning at the feet of Jesus as they witness Christ's miracles, they witness Christ's interactions with others, and they hear Christ's teachings. And time after time, we read of the disciples being dumbfounded and confused because, simply put, they just weren't getting it. Christ, time and time again, emphasizes that the content and reflections of one's heart are the true measure of our obedience and the true measure of our being. Without a pure, God-loving, faithful heart, our actions cannot be aligned with those of God's kingdom. I believe our passage is reminding us this morning to fill our lives, to fill our minds, to fill our hearts with the words and the teachings of the Lord, and to seek God above all else, so that we too would not be left dumbfounded and confused, but we might recognize and understand the Lord's teachings and the Lord's guidance, and that we might be faithful to our calling to be Christ's ambassadors in the world. I was reminded this week that Satan's greatest weapon is a person's ignorance, that we each have a spiritual battleground that is ongoing in our minds and in our hearts that Satan attempts to fill with lies and with temptation. But our only effective response, our greatest counter, is to fill our minds and hearts with God's word. As Psalm 119, 105 reminds us, God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In our Old Testament lesson, we read of Daniel, a devoted servant of God who had a vision, which states, of one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven, that to him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that his dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. In this passage from Daniel 7, we read of the Son of Man that scholars widely agree upon as representing Jesus, coming with the clouds. The clouds of heaven detailed in Daniel portray the Son of Man as being divine. Throughout Scripture, clouds are symbolic of divinity, of majesty, and of awesome presence. We read of God's glory appearing in a cloud at the giving of the law at Sinai in the book of Exodus. We read of the clouds parting and the heavens opening as the Spirit descends upon Jesus in the form of a dove at Christ's baptism before God declares, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." And we read of Christ coming with the clouds of heaven in our New Testament lesson this morning in Revelation chapter 1. "Look, Jesus is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail." In this passage, John is describing Jesus using the imagery from Daniel's vision in Daniel chapter 7. And the book of Revelation is filled with quotes and allusions to the Old Testament. Because you see, John was writing at a time when being a Christian was an extremely difficult and agonizing proposition. John himself knew of banishment. John himself knew of imprisonment, and he knew of hard labor. And John knew of many others who experienced death in the cruelest forms on account of their faith and declaration of Jesus as Lord and King. But through our passage, John is demonstrating that the best way to maintain courage and hope in such circumstances was to remember the past. The best way to be certain that God would not fail in the present is to remember that God had not failed in the past. John strengthened his soul and encourages us to do the same by continuously remembering the greatness and the goodness that God had demonstrated in the past and holding to our convictions that God will ultimately triumph. Our passage ends this morning in verse 8 with the words, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." In the Greek alphabet, Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters, symbolizing that the Lord God is both the beginning and the end. God is eternal. God is the ruler of the past, the ruler of the present, and the ruler of the future. Without God, we have nothing that is eternal, and we have nothing that can bring everlasting change and everlasting purpose to our lives. So today we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. Our worship service this morning is centered on bringing glory and honor to Christ, our King, the King and Lord of all the universe. This morning we are reminded to honor the one who is the beginning and the end of all existence, all wisdom, and all power. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to Jesus be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.